everybody. Welcome to this week's Good Work Show. We have a really important guest who is going to come on super timely. We're talking about voting, poll working, and your civil liberty. So you will not want to miss this episode of the Good Work Show.
Yeah, this is really good, like Elaine said, timely information, but you're going to learn some stuff and might figure out a way that not only can you become civically engaged, but, you know, we love a good side hustle. This actually might be a good one for the next few weeks. So definitely want to tune in and hear what our guest is going to talk about this afternoon. It's really great information. And we're excited to be able to bring you content like this every week. We're working hard to bring good stuff to the table.
I know. Yeah. So we're going to hear from Christopher Bruce, who is with the ACLU of Georgia. And he also does some work at the national level with ACLU. So stick with us. We're going to have a good show. Definitely, this is going to be one where you're also going to want to share with others, because if you don't have opportunity to engage, there may be some opportunities for others who might, particularly if they are looking for, like Trinise said, supplemental income, they're out of work, or they just want to volunteer and do some civic duty. This is an opportunity for them to do that as we have elections coming up. So excited to do that. And we're going to bring you some more. We keep saying we're going to bring you some more nonprofits, and we've got some really great shows. Love the engagement that we're seeing on social media. Continue to do that. You can follow us on Instagram. We're the Good Work Show there. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. But then you can also just send us an email at goodworks@ging.org. If you have an organization that you'd like for us to feature on the show, we'd love to hear from you. This is a great time, and we're doing everything virtually, so it should be pretty easy to log on to Zoom and get an interview going.
We just kind of hop on and, you know, I just re-angle the computer. That's all it is, re-angling the computer. Today I gave everybody a new shot of the house. I mean, this is what it is these days, but we're making it work. And it actually is kind of great that we're able to just drop in on folks, have them tell us what's going on. Everything has this layer of COVID over it.
Yeah.
So everybody's work is a little different. Some people have ramped up, some people have slowed down, or some things have just changed, but people are still out there kind of meeting the needs of the community and doing the work that needs to be done. So we're excited to be able to highlight that, share it, and then let you know how you can get involved, whether it's out there face-to-face or is it right there just from your home. There are different things that we can be doing to help our neighbors. And this is the time that we are looking to do that. We're about to, crazily enough, go into giving season and the holidays, and all of this stuff is coming up where we would usually start to take a turn. You know, by now we should have been getting invitations to fall fundraisers and that kind of stuff. And who knows what that's going to look like this year, but we're going to try to do our best to bring you ways that you can engage and keep a finger on the pulse of what's happening in the community and helping and working with our neighbors.
That's right. So stay tuned. We're going to have Christopher Bruce from ACLU Georgia on in just a sec.
Great.
Welcome back to the Good Work Show. We are excited to be joined by Christopher Bruce, who is from the ACLU of Georgia. In fact, he's the political director and also the co-facilitator for the Southern Voting Project for ACLU nationwide. We are excited to have him on the show. I know ACLU has been very busy over the last couple of weeks and will be, continue to be, because we have a big election coming up. So tell us first, let's back up and tell everybody about ACLU. So I think a lot of people are probably familiar with the acronym ACLU, but they may not even know what it stands for. So American Civil Liberties Union, tell us about the organization and what the mission is.
Oh, happy to do that, especially since the ACLU turned 100 years old this year, actually. So that's why we're really in the trenches, trying to really embody what we really stand for, which is basically everything that's named in your United States Constitution, your Bill of Rights, the Georgia Constitution for the ACLU of Georgia, and all the other subset of just laws. We are a nonprofit that is nonpartisan, that does the work in legislative, advocative, litigation, and mostly through our members who are volunteers, to try to make sure that all just laws are being upheld.
Cool. So one of the things I feel like the ACLU has is, as Elaine said, great name recognition, but then it's kind of like Goodwill. It's like, yeah, we know who you are, and we think we know what you do, but not really. And then they tell us what they think we do, and we're like, that's not what we do. So there's like, so talk us a little bit, like, are there some myths out there about what the ACLU does that you want to just, you know, once and for all do some myth busting? This is not what we do, or this is what we do that you may not be thinking of.
It's kind of interesting because we kind of do everything when it comes down to anything that deals with civil rights or civil liberties. The expanse goes everywhere. So I'll take, for example, House Bill 481, which was passed last year. That was the abortion ban. So while we're known for being the main litigants on that case, we are the main attorneys on that case. My job was, before the bill was passed, was being the main lobbyist for the ACLU against passing that bill altogether. So we literally work in the courthouse, the state house, and we were involved with protests and rallies against that bill too, which goes along with what we're doing right now. When it comes down to the calls of reimagining the police, we're down there as legal observers, actually making sure that the police do not infringe upon people's First Amendment rights. We're also shaping policies to put in for local city ordinances and everything else. And we're also standing guard to sue at any moment when those civil rights or civil liberties are being infringed upon. So we're the good guys most of the time.
It, as long as you're on the right side of...
As long as you're on the right side.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, so back up. So you mentioned 100-year anniversary, which, congratulations, by the way. There aren't many companies these days that make it, let alone nonprofit organizations that make it to 100 years. So fantastic that ACLU is still around. Tell us a little bit about the history, though. So we know kind of what you're doing now, some of the things that you've been working on. We've been hearing ACLU. You can't turn on the news at all and not hear, you know, some issue that the ACLU is championing or a part of. But tell us about the history. What, you know, kind of how did it come together? You know, who was behind it, and what were they standing for?
So I always put in context, especially with people of color, the ACLU has been around for 100 years, but the NAACP has been around for over 100 years. So the ACLU does not look like the NAACP, but we kind of fight for the same things. And it's interesting for me, as being a Black man working for an organization that's mostly predominantly white people, still working on these issues and giving the aspects to it. So the history of the ACLU goes into certain cases like Loving v. Virginia, which dealt with interracial marriage and everything else. But I know mostly we're known for litigation factors in it, but really it comes down to policy and procedures that we try to make sure that's going to happen. My job is to put our legal director out of the job, where if we could pass the right laws, we don't need to sue, right? And then I always empower the people of saying, your job is to put me out of the job. Because if you actually elect the right people to go into the state house, you don't need a lobbyist like me, because they're the right people who are already putting things in place. But again, ACLU has been around for over 100 years, which means that we have a lot of job security when it comes to it, because we always know that we may take steps forward, but there are oftentimes steps backwards that happen. So we'll be around hopefully for another 100 years, but hopefully we won't. Hopefully we can actually achieve the equality and equity that we all strive for.
Yeah, I think that's every nonprofit work, everybody who works for a nonprofit hopes that the reason for our work becomes obsolete, but we kind of keep fighting the good fight as long as we have to. Right. So taking a turn now, though, from history into right now. So we're coming up on this, I think anybody could say unprecedented election. So huge presidential election, not just all across the board. There's a lot of stuff happening right now in the universe that can change based on who was elected. So from the federal level to the state and local levels, there's so many things you talked about, reimagining the police, all of those kinds of things, all those things are on the table right now. So, but on top of that, we have COVID, which is the overlying issue for all things to be discussed this year when it relates to everything happening in the second half of, the last third quarter of 2020, because we only got the 3 months out of this year.
Right.
Actually, really got
full 3 months.
We only got a good 10 weeks.
A good month, actually. I mean, you back up to Kobe. That's a...
That's true.
It hit hard at the beginning.
It came hard and fast. So sometimes I think back, I'm like, oh, this has been a few months, and then I really think about it. I'm like, no, that happened 4 months ago Anyway, so there are some stuff about this election that's a little different. And one of the things that we definitely want to talk about is the poll worker program. So I think everybody is accustomed to going to, if you are a voter, and we like to assume that everybody who listens to our show is a voter. So we're just gonna put that assumption out.
Become one ASAP.
Yes. But you go and you go to your local polling place, and it's usually nice, retired, elderly people who were there, who are working there as a poll worker. But we know that this year things are a little different. So there's a call that you guys are putting out for poll workers. So let's talk about that and tell us what's going on with that and why.
Well, first I'd like to say happy National Poll Worker Recruitment Day. September 1st Poll Worker Recruitment Day. So yes, it's a great day to be talking about this subject altogether. So we know, how can I put this? Iowa happened as far as the primaries going, and Iowa was pretty bad. Everybody was like, you really can't get any worse. And then June 9th happened with Georgia, and Georgia said, hold my beer. And we actually did. So I still can't, we were literally laughed at by the nation for how we did voting. And that was a problem. And I think the people of Georgia have said, enough is enough. We need to fix this problem. We need to fix this problem now. And if the government's not doing what it's supposed to do or living up to the levels that it can, we can actually do it on our own by civic engagement. And that's what the poll worker recruitment program is going into. And you believe in voter suppression is happening, if you believe that anything wonky is happening at the polls, well, it's not gonna happen if you're the one who's working the poll. So sign up to be a poll worker. Be the one who's on the front lines actually doing this work. And it's critical that that happens, especially of what you were saying before. The average age of a poll worker in Georgia is 72 years old.
Wait, that's the average age?
The average age, yes.
Wow.
So there are people who are much older and some that are younger than that. 72 years old. So with that, you have people who are the most susceptible to COVID-19 at the front lines for your voting rights. And that's just not fair on them. They've been doing this job for a while, as you were saying before. They need help, especially now we have new voting machines that come up with a much more complicated process. So we're trying to recruit younger people, not just because they're less susceptible, but because they need to be engaged within their government as well. We're also recruiting lawyers who know the law front and back, who can be trained into this field and give you updated advice that you're not going to be calling election protection for, because they are election protection right there with you. And we're calling on technicians, people who specialize in IT, to work the computers, work the scanners, work the ballots, to make sure that you can have a great time if something does happen at a time. So this all goes within the poll worker recruitment program.
I mean, and all of that seems just straightforward and reasonable. I mean, you think of what an election is, and that you have you know, so many people who are coming in. And I know voting has changed. I mean, the technology has changed over time. And so you would think, you know, people who are retired, who have more time on their hands to sort of sit there throughout the day and get this done. But when you think about the process of voting and you think about what it entails, having lawyers, having IT professionals, having young people there would be great. And I don't, even if it's, you know, being able to relate to the person that is giving you your voting card. I mean, just you see young people there, you see, you know, the interest in elections. And I think that even could probably even appeal to some young people who may not have voted in the past or may have thought, oh, this isn't for me. You know, I've gone there and I see people who look like, you know, my grandfather or my great grandfather. And what does that mean? But just seeing so many younger people and the energy around that, I think could even be important, just as important as who's actually there. So tell us about the training. If people are thinking, well, I'd really love to do this, I'm a lawyer, I'm an IT professional, is it, what goes into the requirements? What do they need to know before they get there? It seems like it might not necessarily be the toughest job, but you do have to commit, be able to commit time, because as we saw here in our state, that it could be a long day, or, you know, or over 24 hours of time, depending on, you know, what happens at your polling place. So give us a little sense of that.
Well, that's good, because people really do need to know what goes into this. So one, the requirements, you have to be 16 years old, at least 16. So you can be in high school and still work at a polling location. Again, it's not the most complicated, but it's also not the most easiest thing. So 16 year olds, college age, anyone who's a student who wants to make money, you should really be interested in signing up to be a poll worker. Two, you have to be a resident of that county or a government employee of that county. We've been working with the Secretary of State to eliminate that. Other states don't have that type of clause into it, but we're trying to eliminate that, because let's say you have, you go to church in one county, but you live in another county and your church decides on working a polling precinct and you want to volunteer at that church, you wouldn't be able to under current law. So unfortunately, we had Senate Bill 436 that we lobbied on. It didn't pass, but we'll be coming back next year for that. When it comes to trainings and everything else, that goes within your local board of elections. So Georgia has 159 counties. Is the second most in the nation besides Texas, which means that you have 159 board of elections, which means that you have 159 different ways that you do educational and training. So for example, in Fulton County, they require a 4-hour in-person training, while in Cobb County, theirs is mostly virtual. So it, and it's, I believe it's around 2 or 3 hours. So it just matters on which county that you're a part of. That's why the ACLU is kind of operating as a mediator in between of saying, if you sign up with our program, we'll get you in connection with the county and make the process as smooth as possible of saying, this is what you need. This is who you need to talk to. If you're not getting calls back, we'll call them to call you back and kind of facilitate the need of people who are really stepping up to shore up voting rights in the state of Georgia.
Cool. So for this though, it's not just necessarily for election day. So is this also, so just expectation wise, so could you start, I would assuming you need poll workers beginning with early voting. So it would be starting at whatever date that is, leading towards through election day. So you could do multiple days or anything like that. Is that a possibility, or are you signing up for one day?
Absolutely. I think, and I recommend that people sign up for as many days as possible. We all know that election day is going to be D-Day, November 3rd, but that's really throwing yourself into the fire. If you have not done poll working before, try it out. Georgia is fortunate enough to have 2 more chances at the Apple, at least the metro Atlanta area is. September 29th is the John Lewis election to finish his term. So that's going to be another election that's happening, and early voting is about to start there. You can be a poll worker and work that. And then I believe it's October 12th is when early voting starts for the November 3rd election. So you can sign up for as many days as possible. Days are long, and we're trying to change that too. So polls are supposed to be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., which means that you have to arrive at the polling location at 6 a.m. And then typically you don't leave until 8 p.m. So that's a 14-hour shift. I know. That's, it's a long time. It's dedication.
I'll be honest. When I was like, yeah, I want to do a poll. I want to be a poll worker. And then I saw that. I was like, oh, you got to be there.
Now, are there breaks? Is there a break in the day for that? Is there a shift that you go when you take a lunch break? Or is that all 14 hours sitting there at the polling location?
So they have adequate staff to say, hey, you can go take a break, just come back and everything else. What we're trying to do is have, one, the Board of Elections hire more poll workers altogether so you can do shifts. And two, put in a clause of saying, if you don't want to get paid, if you just want to be a poll volunteer, still do the same work, but now we have so many people working that you could work in shifts, of saying you don't have to be here all day. So you can be refreshed, especially when it comes into that 4 to 7 o'clock hour when people are getting off of work and they're slamming the polls. Well, you've already worked about 8 hours. You're going to be tired. And then everybody's coming in with different problems and different situations. The best thing to do at this point is to make sure we have adequate people to work the polls. And we've got a good outcry of people, but we need more.
I don't think most people know that. I mean, I didn't know until, Trenise mentioned that she was interested in doing it. It was a 14-hour day, that those folks who are sitting there are there for the duration of however long the day is, even whether it's early voting or whether it's actually on election day. That's taxing for anybody just to be doing, you know, one particular thing. So this conversation is highly important. And there are a lot of people now who are working virtually who may have a little bit of more flexibility in their day. Maybe they don't have the commute time that they once did. And so maybe that saved them a few hours on their work day, or they're working in a limited capacity now because their position has been sort of downsized, or maybe they are unemployed right now and this might be a great opportunity for that supplemental income while you're looking for work. So lots of opportunities here. I'm so glad that you're sharing them with us, Christopher, because this...
One more thing, Elaine, that I think is also important. A lot of companies are doing election day holidays for their employees. So if you've gotten out and you voted early just because you don't want to be in the crush of people on election day, which everybody is recommending that you do, then you've got a day that now you kind of set that you could set aside and use that day as being a poll worker. So just something else to think about. I know a lot of our big local corporations have either already come out and said that they're doing that or it's on the table. So that could be a great option as well if you're thinking about, you know, having that day off now to be able to go out and work at the polls that day.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great. Chris, tell us where people can learn more. How do they sign up? How do they find out how to connect to the training and all of the other work that ACLU is doing, particularly if there are folks who could support you even on the legal and advocacy side of what you're doing beyond this election? How do people connect with you and find out more?
Well, we want as many people as possible. And again, we cover the gamut. So if you're not interested in poll worker, but you're interested in legislation, we'll have sit downs with you and your state representative or your local elected official and talk to them through those problems. So you can find all this information on ACLUGA.org. If you want to sign up for poll workers, there's just add a slash and add in poll workers as well. The website's pretty friendly to go through. Yeah, there are several things that you can get involved in, but I think this is a time that most people want to be civically engaged, and that time's not going to end even past November 3rd. So highly encourage people to come out and participate in their government. Like you were saying before, 14 hours is a long day, but that is true civic engagement. And people are going to be doing some of the best feats to the point where I'm very hopeful that Georgia has a great election altogether. It's not even about the people who are going to win or lose. It's about, are people going to be having their access to vote? And we can do that together.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us here on the Good Work Show. We're excited to share this with our audience. If you want more information, ACLUGA.org.
Yep. O-R-G.
Log on to the website. If you know someone who could become a poll worker or wants to become a poll worker, please make sure that you get them this information as soon as possible so that they can get out there and get the training and support. Thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it. And we look forward to talking more with the ACLU Georgia to figure out what else you have going on and share this with our listeners.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me. Make sure all of you, make sure you have your own voting plan, either voting by mail, voting in person, voting early. Come up with a plan now and make sure that it's gone to a T. You can also find help at acluga.org about that as well. Thank you.
Thank you.